light the crescent?
Yeah. Well, this is a very contentious issue because the scholars, the religious authorities are somehow polarized around this issue because they differ in their opinions among themselves. And some scholars are of the view that we should not use binoculars, telescopes, and the likes to establish the beginning of the month, of the lunar month, and some others quite support these devices, saying there's no problem as long as, you know, as you are using these items and the beginning of the month is established, so there's no objection. So as we can see, we have to now say with regard to the opinion of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long. Of course, he is of the view that the sighting of the new crescent with these instruments can be established because they are reliable tools, and the ruling does not differ from that of the naked eyes. If you cannot see with the naked eye the moon or the crescent, there is no objection to you take up for example binoculars and see and look for the crescent in the sky or in the horizon to find it.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Ya Allah, thank you for another chance standing at my door. Ya Allah, you give me hope, deliver this gift right to my home. Lawhan, marhab, ya Ramadan, ahi qulubana bil Qur'an, halli layalina.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIP English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting. Sheikh Javid, we are talking about the crescent and the different scenarios that are available in order to, for example, mark the end of Ramadan and the beginning of the next month, which is Shawwal, right?
Yes.
So if, you know, the local people cannot see or cannot sight the moon, basically, but the radio or television announces the beginning of Shawwal for that particular day, right?
Yeah.
Well, like we usually call it the Yom Shak, right?
Yes.
That whatever translation which is available for that, a dubious day or whatever. So people have doubts.
Yes.
Whether that day is particularly the end of Ramadan or the beginning of Shawwal, what should they do in that scenario?
I believe it depends largely on where we live, whether we live in countries like Pakistan or Iran, or we live in Arab countries like the UAE or Qatar or Saudi Arabia. So those countries actually have their own method of establishing the beginning of the month of Shawwal, and the Islamic Republic of Iran has its own special method. So I think we cannot say that when the announcement is made by a government, then we have to act according to the announcement. Like in Saudi Arabia, we see that they announce the Eid day sometimes even one day before, sometimes before the announcement made by the Islamic Republic of Iran. So I think it is necessary to make sure that the moon has been sighted, because the Shia scholars unanimously believe that the moon has to be sighted, while some of the Arab countries in the region do not go for that. They do not believe that the moon has to be sighted, because they think that the moon is there, but it's not visible. It's hiding somewhere behind in the horizon, so we cannot find it. So when 29 days or 30 days have passed, they begin breaking their fast and, you know, declaring the Eid day.
That's not the case. Visibility of the crescent or the sighting of the moon or crescent is not a must for them.
For them, yes. But for us, it's a must. We must be sure that the moon has been sighted, either by way of a telescope or binoculars or any other devices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody has to follow his own mujtahid when it comes to this issue, especially.
Yes.
So, for example, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that, okay, devices such as telescope and, you know, binoculars are enough.
Mm.
But some other religious scholars who live or who sit in the holy city of Najaf are of the view that no, these are not these should not involve the sighting of the moon should not involve these devices, instruments. Rather, the moon has to be sighted and established with the naked eyes.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Guide me all the way to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javed, hosting this program. And Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the month of Ramadan. Sheikh Javed, I was talking about the sighting of the moon, and if it is difficult to ascertain the beginning of, for example, the month of Ramadan or the end of it, like Eid al-Fitr,
yes,
all right, which is the beginning of the next month, which is Shawwal. Well, because of inability, for example, to observe or to sight the crescent, all right, whether at the beginning of the month or the end of the next month, due to, for example, some climate conditions, like, for example, clouds, all right, which makes it impossible, in fact, for people on the earth to sight the crescent, right? If you live, for example, in Japan,
yes,
let's say, all right, can you, or is it permissible for those people, for the Muslims in Japan, to go by the horizon of the Middle East, like Iran, for example? What should they do? What's the rule?
Well, the horizon, these two countries, like, for example, Iran and Japan, do not seem to have the same horizon, because Japan is many thousand miles away from Iran. And in the eye of custom, of course, they do not seem to have the same horizon. When the moon is sighted there, it doesn't mean that it will be sighted here in Iran. So people in those countries, in, for example, in Japan, as you gave the example, can follow their own horizon, and the people in the Middle East should have their own horizon, and they do have it, but they cannot start fasting or break their fast relying on the horizon of Japan.
So you mean there is a condition which needs to be met, and that is the sameness of the horizon. So would you talk a little about this? We don't have much time.
The sameness of horizon, it needs to be equal as far as the possibility and impossibility of sighting the moon crescent is concerned. When it comes to the possibility of sighting the moon,
how many miles or kilometers are we talking about?
We are not talking in terms of miles or kilometers, you know. Probably it could be many hundred miles, you know, but it has something to do with the possibility and impossibility of actually sighting the moon in that horizon by people or from both let's say countries or regions or areas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Yashtavi, and thank you, my dear listeners, for joining us, joining your own program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to touch on some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the month of Ramadan, and particularly we talked about sighting of the crescent. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh Allah, please unite us and guide us to paradise. Oh, and guide us to paradise. Ramadan is here, Allah's mercy is near. Time to give, time to share, time to show.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
English Radio presents Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom to discuss today's topic, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Nur Muhammad. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Nur Muhammad, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Alright, for today's discussion, we want to talk about Qods Rally all across the world, its messages and importance in today's world. As we know, the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan was named as the Day of Quds or Quds Day by the late Imam Khomeini. Especially this year, I think this rally is more significant because of the Israeli and Zionist attacks on Gaza and the Gaza's children in Palestine. So, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, let's start with you. The late Imam Khomeini, on that time, it's more than 40 years now, around 50 years now, named the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as the Quds Day. He felt a kind of importance and we can say significance for this day and naming this day, especially in the holy month of Ramadan, which is believed to be belonging to all Muslims around the world. How do you think this day is significant and it's really significant in this year, especially in this Ramadan?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maybe in this year and in this holy month of Ramadan is much more important than the previous one, because the nature, the reality of the Zionism has been appeared for all human beings. Everybody understood that the Zionist regime is against the humanity.
Yes.
Not only against the Muslim people and Palestinians, but against humanity in general. Maybe in last years and last time it was somehow to some extent ambiguous for some people, but everybody right now in front of the eyes of all people, they committing crime.
Yes.
Biggest genocide on the world. They're killing, massacring innocent boys and children.
Yes.
Many people have been killed and massacred in Gaza.
Yes.
And in the Palestinian lands.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I can claim that the most of people, and especially the Muslims, they are quiet against the Zionist
yes.
crime.
Yes. At the same time, so many voices can be heard now. I mean, so many of the powers and the superpowers in the world, these liberal capital countries and the communities are silent, but at the same time so many truth seekers, justice seekers, are announcing their voice to the world that this is wrong, what's happening is against humanity.
I want to say that even enough to announce yes. only and to condemn the crimes of the Zionist regime or not.
Yes.
For example, in the verses of Noble Quran we have that وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ غُوَّةِ prepare against them whatsoever you can of power and war horses to frighten them by the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
According to the verse of Noble Quran, we should prepare whatever we have financially, militarily, any kind of support, morally, and any possible support we can for the Palestinian lands yes. and for the support of humanity.
Yes.
Because what is a crime of the innocent boys and children?
Yes.
They have been bombarded by the Zionist regime.
That's right. Okay, and it's been continuous, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Till now we are producing this program. Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, what about you, brother? How do you find this year's Quds rally more significant than the last year's?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As my brother mentioned, I also have to say the world has changed.
Yes.
And this year, definitely we will see something different from other years. In the last years, we would see maybe only Muslims and some other people who are not Muslims taking part in this rally. But this year, everything has changed, and we can see the change in the world too. This year, we see that the Supreme Leader of Islamic Republic of Iran says that all supplying ways of Israel must be cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And following this, though there are some countries that they not pay attention to this,
yes.
I mean the government, not the people,
yes.
but we see this blessed thing will happen, this brave action from Yemeni brothers will happen,
yes.
that all these big ships
yes.
for Israel or any ship which is targeting Israeli ports,
yes.
will be attacked by drones and missiles, Yemeni missiles. Unfortunately, we see some other countries, I mean Muslim countries, they are paving the ground or creating another shortcut for supplying Israel. I think the rallies for this year, if it happens in a mass crowded, yes. in those countries around Israel, I mean Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and other countries,
yes.
so the government will be at risk. They will not open another way
yes.
for Israel to supply Israel when they are really under pressure from the sea ways that they might have.
Yes.
Right now they don't have any access to those ways.
Yes.
The only way is this land way that these countries have opened for
yes.
them. So participating in big rallies in those countries from our Muslim brother will put the government at risk to think, are we gonna
continue this or not, and we have to consider.
Yes.
I mean, and right now I'm going to address our dear brothers, Muslim sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, Allah says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَلَا يَطَعُونَ مَوْتَأً يَغِيظُ الْكُفَّارَ وَلَا يَنَالُونَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ نَيْلًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. Meaning what? You are not stepping on the path.
Yes.
In which you make angry the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except if Allah will write for you a good action. So exactly, you are stepping on the path. When you are participating in the rally of Quds,
yes,
you are stepping on a path which will make angry the whole world. I've heard weeks ago, we would hear that, okay, now you see the people of Khomeini everywhere, all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because this movement,
yes,
had been initiated by Imam Khomeini,
yes,
late Imam Khomeini.
Yes.
And every people, every person, no matter which religion he is following,
yes,
if he participate in this opposition, in this protest against Israel, he is following that,
yes,
actually blessed and divine.
And every year the Quds rally was mostly after the freedom and the right of the people of Palestine. But I think this year it would be with the slogans and mottos against Israel and,
yes,
Zionism. And this must be more significant, because as Sheikh Muhammad said, what they are doing is really a genocide.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
So the true face of Israel, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, is shown to the world now. So what is your suggestion for our Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world? How to be united against Israel and the Zionism power?
First of all, I think we should have the clarification. Why on media? I think it's very important to support Palestine,
mm-hmm,
in the social media, try to clarify the issue for all human beings, for all, people, Muslim or non-Muslim, because that unfortunately there are some doubts,
yes,
and misunderstanding,
yes,
against the Palestinian people. And this, if you search different media,
yes,
they have some question,
yes,
for example, against the Hamas,
yes,
or against the Palestinians. So first of all, and maybe the priority,
yes,
actually comes to the jihad of tabyin,
uh-huh,
or the jihad of clarification.
What Allah Khamenei called the jihad of tabyin.
Exactly.
Right.
I think it's the first and foremost important point that everybody, especially,
really,
Muslim, they should try to do that. So they should clarify the real face of the Zionism.
Uh-huh.
They should explain this false propaganda in this media, and try to explain why that the Israeli regime started and initiated the war against the Palestinians.
Yes.
And actually, that the...
It's not something new,
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, 1358, the late Imam Khomeini, according to the solar calendar, issued this, we can say, a verdict against Israeli on that time, more than 45 years.
Exactly. For example, they have been made some false video clips against,
yes,
the Hamas.
Yes.
We should explain about this issue. We should,
mm-hmm,
make it clear,
yes,
that the Palestinian people are,
yes,
fighting for their rights, and they did not commit any crime,
yes,
or massacre. Actually, the question goes to the Zionist regime, who,
yes,
started and initiated,
yes,
this war against humanity.
And who is going to kill the children, in today's world, with all these bombardments, unfortunately, the chemical weapons that they are using, putting water in the tunnels, killing the people alive. And who is going to attack, for example, schools, universities, hospitals all around the world? And as you said, so many of the so-called humanitarian organizations are becoming silent. Okay, Sheikh Mahdavi, your final remarks about the significance of Quds rally this year.
I think this awareness must be increased.
in all people all around the world.
Yes.
That when you look at the world, you know, as you said, all these official organizations that we can see all around the world, all of them, they kept silent. Why?
Yes.
What's the question behind it? Why they don't say anything? Or if they say, they quickly say something and they are not gonna support their word. It shows that everything is in the hand of Israel. So you don't have any right to protest, I mean officially in the world. So UN will say nothing. Two times they tried to issue resolution against Israel, but we saw how US vetoed
yes
the resolution.
Yes.
So it shows why. It shows that, okay, killing people when they are gathered to take some bread after not taking anything for a week, and then you bomb those gathering, it shows that this is legal based on their understanding of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Attacking ambulances,
yes,
based on their viewpoint and worldview is legal. Why? Because no one can say anything. The organization WHO
yes.
can say nothing. This is their responsibility to say, defend from the oppressed people.
Yes.
These are hospitals. Yes. They attacked and bombarded the hospital of Ma'marani.
Ash-Shifa. Yes.
Ash-Shifa.
That's right.
Under this pretext that, okay, Hamas people were there.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't find anything. Even their media
yes.
made fun of them, saying that, okay, your soldiers got into the hospital. They couldn't find anything there.
Mm-hmm.
So WHO said nothing. Why?
Sorry, because more than 200 journalists have been killed.
Yeah.
No one can say anything.
Why? Because it's in their hands.
From different news agencies around the world, even the Western ones, you know, in the world. And what's happening in Palestine today and in Gaza Strip today, it is not limited only to the people of Gaza or Palestine, okay? So it shows that if Zionism and Israel find the power, they are ready to assassinate and kill every truth seeker and justice seeker across the world.
So that's why we see that media, yes. all these organizations, they're all in the hand of great shaitan.
Mm.
When we look at upon this thing of Imam Khomeini, that US government is the great shaitan,
yes.
so we can see this saying how embodied or presented in their action these days.
That's right. Ayatollah Khamenei has said that every inch of Palestine is an inch of Muslim's house. Any government other than a Palestinian one and other than a Muslim one over Palestine is a usurper one. Our world is what Imam Khomeini said. Israel must be wiped away. It is not fighting with Jews. The issue is usurping the house of Muslims. May Allah free Palestine and inshallah the people of Gaza and the children of innocent children. Really, the footage and the videos that are on the social media are really heartbreaking. You cannot even tolerate, you know, seeing and watching even 1 second of the footage and the video of the innocent children without food, without water, without medicine, without shelter in the cold weather of the winter over there, you know, under bombardment. And unfortunately, as you said, so many of the official formal organizations around the world are still quiet. And this is a sad news for the so-called world who is after freedom, justice around the world.
You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Palestine free
yes.
if the Islamic Ummah, they have and they do their responsibility.
And are awakened. That's right. Thank you, Sheikh Nur Muhammad and Sheikh Mahdavi, for a nice elaboration regarding Al-Quds Day and the Quds rally this year in this holy month of Ramadan. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at pastorday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Free Palestine.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Gathered here with my family, my neighbor. neighbors and my friends, standing firm together against oppression, holding hands. It doesn't matter where you're from, or if you're young or woman or man, we're here for the same reason. We want to take back our land. Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on. And now we're here together, calling you for freedom.
Defensive Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
As the golden hues of dusk gradually give way to the tranquil embrace of night, a heavenly spectacle unfolds in the vast expanse of the sky. The slender crescent moon emerges as a celestial messenger, heralding the arrival of a sacred time, the blessed month of Ramadan. This celestial sighting marks a new beginning, a spiritual journey that beckons believers to embark on a path of self-reflection and devotion. The arrival of Ramadan makes hearts stirred with a sense of reverence and awe. The soul is called to awaken from its slumber. Each day of Ramadan is a chapter in a spiritual odyssey, a chance to seek forgiveness, cultivate gratitude, and draw closer to Allah. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar and is considered as the holiest month for Muslims. It is a time of fasting, prayer, reflection, and community for Muslims around the world. During Ramadan, Muslims fast from dawn until dusk, abstaining from food, drink, smoking, and marital relations. The fast is seen as a way to purify the soul, practice self-discipline, and empathize with those who are less fortunate. Mr. Muhammad Hossein Rajabi, who teaches ethics at university, had more to say about fasting and the reason it's been prescribed.
The rationale behind fasting encompasses various aspects, including the act of abstaining from food and drink to empathize with the less fortunate. Fasting serves as a reminder to not overlook the plight of the needy, prompting increased charitable actions during Ramadan. This practice of fasting effectively contributes to aiding those in need, as evidenced by heightened support for the poor during this month.
Fasting in Ramadan is obligatory for all adult Muslims, with exceptions for those who are ill, pregnant, nursing, traveling, or experiencing other conditions that would make fasting harmful. However, those who are unable to fast are encouraged to make up for it by feeding the poor or performing other acts of worship. Fasting is a practice observed in several divine religions, including Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, among others. While the specifics of fasting may vary among these religions, the general concept often revolves around spiritual purification, self-discipline, and drawing closer to God. This is Mr. Muhammad Hadi Hidayat, a seminary professor located in the holy city of Qom.
خدا توی قرآن میفرماید که وقتی ما روز قیامت میشه همه این جمله رو میگیم.
The Quran speaks of a day when souls will lament their neglect of Allah, regretting their failure to acknowledge His presence. We are urged to seek God's companionship in this world, to perceive His light within us and around us. Ramadan offers a prime opportunity for this connection. By fasting for the sake of God, we can learn to abstain not just from physical needs, but also from worldly distractions, paving the way for a deeper spiritual awareness of His presence.
The philosophy of fasting in Islam encompasses a holistic approach to spiritual growth, self-improvement, empathy, gratitude, and community engagement. It serves as a transformative practice that nurtures the soul, cultivates virtues, and deepens one's connection to Allah and fellow human beings. It is said that Ramadan is the month of God's party, and everyone is invited to take part in this divine feast. Now the question is that what kind of a party is this that those who take part in it have to abstain from drinking and eating all day long?
توی مهمانی هایی که فضای مادی هست و خوراکی های مادی هستش طبیعتا آدم باید بیشتر بخوره.
When you host a feast, eating and drinking are essential components. However, when God orchestrates a feast, the focus shifts from physical indulgence to spiritual fulfillment. In this divine gathering where God is the ultimate host, sustenance is provided by Him alone. Even as I play the role of host, it is God who truly nourishes us. As human beings, we are not merely physical entities. Our souls crave their own form of nourishment. Fasting redirects our attention from bodily needs to spiritual ones, allowing us to nurture our souls.
In Iran, people engage in increased acts of worship during Ramadan. Mosques are filled with worshippers seeking spiritual growth, forgiveness, and blessings during this sacred month. Mr. Sajjad Rajabi Rawari, a religion expert, told us that in Ramadan, crime rates fall drastically.
در آینه روایت وقتی ماه مبارک رمضان رو بررسی میکنیم.
The decline in crime rates during Ramadan can be attributed to Islamic beliefs that Satan and his army are in chain during this period, unable to tempt fasting individuals. As people draw closer to God, the influence of evil diminishes. Analogously, imagine a balloon filled with a gas lighter than oxygen, tethered to prevent it from rising. The tether represents worldly attachments, while the balloon symbolizes the soul. By detaching the soul from worldly distractions through fasting and prayers in Ramadan, one can elevate their spiritual essence.
Many Iranians participate in charitable activities, such as providing meals for the needy, donating to mosques and charitable organizations, and supporting community initiatives to help those in need. Mr. Mohammad Kalbosi, an Islamic world expert, told us about the social function of Ramadan.
آمار جرم و جنایت در این ماه کاهش پیدا میکنه.
The decline in crime rates during Ramadan is attributed to heightened focus on religious practices, such as attending holy sites and aiding the less fortunate. Muslims are encouraged to engage in charitable acts during this month, leading to increased support for needy families and a surge in philanthropic donations. Socially, Ramadan promotes a sense of unity as people gather for iftar, visit each other more frequently, and partake in religious rituals, strengthening communal bonds.
Ramadan in Iran is also marked by various cultural traditions and customs. Families gather for special meals and celebrations, and neighborhoods come alive with decorations, lights, and festive activities. Traditional Iranian foods and sweets are also prepared and shared during this time. At the same time, special programs and events are organized during Ramadan, including lectures, Quran recitations, and religious gatherings. These gatherings provide opportunities for learning and reflection.
توی این مهمانی قرار ما پیش خدا یک خوراک معنوی زیبایی بگیریم. یکیش قرآنه.
During this sacred period, we are encouraged to seek spiritual pleasures. Reading the Holy Quran and engaging in prayer, especially during the night, or ways to connect with God. In the month of Ramadan, there is a palpable sense of closeness to God, as if the environment is primed for a special communion with Him.
Ramadan reaches its zenith in Laylatul Qadr, also known as the Night of Decree and the Night of Power, a significant event in Islam which occurs during the last 10 nights of the month. It is considered as the holiest night of the year and holds immense spiritual importance for Muslims.
خب این ماه یکی از مهمترین ماه‌های سال هست.
Ramadan stands out as a significant month in the Islamic calendar, uniquely highlighted in the Holy Quran and referred to by the Prophet as the month of God. Believers are welcome to partake in God's feast during this sacred time, where divine mercy and forgiveness abound. The pinnacle of this month is Laylatul Qadr, the night when the Quran was first revealed from heaven to the Prophet.
Laylatul Qadr is believed to be the night when the first verses of the Holy Quran were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad by the angel Gabriel.
Ramadan
is known as the sacred month due to its association with the revelation of the Quran to Prophet Muhammad. This is underscored in the Quran itself, which introduces Ramadan as the month of the Quran and emphasizes its significance as a period of fasting. In Islamic teachings, Ramadan is also linked to the springtime of the Quran, highlighting its profound connection to the Quran as a universal guide for humanity.
Muslims believe that on this night the blessings and mercy of Allah are abundant and prayers and good deeds are multiplied in reward. It is commonly observed during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, with the exact date believed to fall on one of the odd-numbered nights, such as the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, or 29th night of Ramadan. Muslims around the world spend the night in prayer, reflection, and supplication, seeking forgiveness, guidance, and spiritual fulfillment.
Ramadan holds its sanctity as the month of the Quran's revelation to Prophet Muhammad, while Laylatul Qadr is revered as the holiest night for being the occasion of the Quran's initial descent from God. Described in the Quran as a night more valuable than a thousand months, Laylatul Qadr carries profound significance in Islamic tradition. It marks the sealing of human destinies for the upcoming year, with angels descending to finalize individuals' fates for the following year.
Laylatul Qadr is also significant in Iran as a predominantly Shia country, as it marks the martyrdom of Imam Ali, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, and the first Imam of Shia Muslims. Imam Ali was assassinated on the 21st of Ramadan in the year 661 AD while praying in the Great Mosque of Kufa in present-day Iraq. His martyrdom is mourned by Shia Muslims during the month of Ramadan, particularly on the night of Laylatul Qadr. His martyrdom is commemorated with somber processions, gatherings, and speeches that honor his memory and teachings. Shia Muslims reflect on Imam Ali's life, his commitment to justice, his bravery in defending Islam, and his unwavering devotion to Allah. The martyrdom of Imam Ali serves as a reminder of the sacrifices made by early Islamic figures in upholding the values of Islam and standing against oppression and injustice. What is the significance of Ramadan?
Ramadan encourages establishing connections with the broader world of creation, encompassing various dimensions. This includes fostering bonds with fellow beings and cultivating a deeper connection with the Creator.
The act of praying during Ramadan reflects this interconnectedness as believers implore God to alleviate the suffering of the less fortunate, nourish the hungry, and heal the sick. While these prayers seek divine intervention, they also serve as a reminder for individuals to actively engage in helping others with reliance on divine assistance.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more to be said, but first a quick media review to give other outlets a chance to get a word in. Hello everyone, welcome to the news section of this program. Here, we'll go over some important news headlines. Holy month of Ramadan in Iran. Muslims in Iran are to be united in a ritual of daily fasting from dawn to sunset as the Islamic holy month of Ramadan kicks off. Mehr News writes, Iranians stream into mosques for congregational prayers and dedicate more time to religious contemplation and the reading of the Quran during Ramadan. Charity is a hallmark of Ramadan. Among other ways of giving, many seek to provide iftar for the needy. A lineup of new television shows is another fixture of the month in Iran. Iran lifts curbs on dates exports ahead of Ramadan. The Iranian government has lifted its curbs on exports of dates from the country just ahead of the holy month of Ramadan, when demand for dates soars in Muslim countries. Nur News writes, Governor of Iran's Kerman province, Mohammad Mehdi Fadakar, said that the government had lifted its 50% duty on dates exports to help farmers and exporters increase their sales during Ramadan. Muslims can take important step in liberation of Al-Quds. The Muslims of the world can take an important step towards the liberation of the holy city of Al-Quds by strengthening unity and integrity in the month of Ramadan, the Iranian Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibov says. Shahr Daily writes, addressing Parliament speakers of the Muslim countries in a message, Iranian Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibov congratulated the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan. I believe that in this blessed month, the Muslims of the world, by strengthening unity and integrity, can take an important step towards achieving the lofty ideals of the Islamic Ummah, especially the liberation of the holy city of Al-Quds and the sovereignty of the oppressed Palestinian people over all the occupied lands, Iranian Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibov wrote. Mustafa Zamani's Iraqi TV series Amir Lee set for Ramadan release. Famous Iranian actor Mustafa Zamani has performed in the Iraqi TV series Amir Lee, directed by Ahmad Ibrahim Ahmad, which is going to be released soon by Nora Vision. Tehran Times writes, the drama romance war series tells the story of an Iraqi hero who fought ISIS for his people, is not reported. The highly anticipated series is expected to captivate audiences with its compelling narrative and stellar performances. The series is set to be a Ramadan treat for viewers. Amir Lee unfolds a gripping tale that promises to keep viewers on the edge of their seats throughout the holy month of Ramadan. Most useful tips for traveling Iran during Ramadan. Saadat Men writes, Ramadan in Iran is a period that transforms the country into a mosaic of spirituality and culture, providing a unique and enriching experience for tourists. This holy month is observed by Muslims worldwide as a time of fasting, reflection, and community. For travelers, it presents an unparalleled opportunity to immerse themselves in Iran's rich traditions and warm hospitality. Here's a comprehensive guide to help tourists navigate and appreciate the beauty of Ramadan in Iran. And thank you for joining us in this section. Let's go back to the main narrative. During Ramadan, Iranian cuisine takes on a special significance
as families come together to break their fast and share meals after a day of fasting. Traditional Iranian dishes are prepared with care and attention to create flavorful and satisfying meals for the pre-dawn and sunset meals during this holy month. When Ramadan and Nowruz coincide like this year, it can create a special time for those who celebrate both occasions.
Just as every entity experiences its own season of growth and renewal, so does humanity. Iranians mark the new year during the blossoming of nature, a time of rejuvenation and fresh beginnings. Just as nature undergoes transformation in spring, our souls too seek rejuvenation, symbolized by the month of Ramadan.
Families may combine traditions and customs from both festivals, creating a unique blend of cultural and religious observances. It can be a time of double celebration, with feasting, prayers, and gatherings to mark the beginning of the Islamic fasting month and the Persian New Year.
The commencement of the new year in Iran, coinciding with the rejuvenation of nature, holds symbolic importance. Just as life returns to the natural world, bringing vitality and vigor, humans are infused with renewed energy to embark on the upcoming year with fresh enthusiasm. This revitalizing effect of spring on individuals is mirrored in the spiritual refreshment offered by Ramadan.
Quds Day is an annual event which was initiated by the Islamic Republic of Iran in 1979 to show support for the Palestinian people and to protest against the Israeli occupation of Palestine. This day is observed on the last Friday of Ramadan.
Quds Day is marked by rallies, marches, and demonstrations in various countries, most outstandingly in Iran, with participants expressing solidarity with the Palestinian cause and calling for the liberation of Palestine. The day is meant to raise awareness about the ongoing occupation and to emphasize the importance of Al-Quds in the hearts of Muslims worldwide. Mr. Kalbasi told us about the historical background that links Ramadan and Al-Quds together. In his opinion, it has to do with Mi'raj. But what is Mi'raj in the first place?
Why is the last Friday of Ramadan called the Quds Day? I mean, what does Ramadan has to do with Quds?
Concerning Mi'raj, the Prophet took on a miraculous night journey from Mecca to Al-Quds and then ascended to the heavens. It's mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Isra. This extraordinary event, which occurred on the 17th night of Ramadan, establishes a significant connection between the city of Al-Quds, home to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the month of Ramadan. Following the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini designated the last Friday of Ramadan as Quds Day, symbolizing solidarity with the Palestinian people and honoring the historical connection.
The significance of Quds Day extends beyond political boundaries and is seen as a day of unity and solidarity among Muslims, regardless of their backgrounds or sects. It serves as a reminder of the importance of justice, freedom, and human rights for all people, particularly those who are oppressed or facing injustice. Given the current situation in Gaza and the broader Palestinian territories, Quds Day this year may carry even more significance as a platform to draw attention to the humanitarian crisis, violence, and genocide the Palestinian nation is experiencing.
The month of Ramadan culminates in the celebrations of Eid al-Fitr, a festive holiday that marks the ending of the fasting period. Muslims come together on this day to pray, give charity, share meals, and celebrate with family and friends.
Eid al-Fitr in Iran, like in other Muslim countries, is a time of joy, gratitude, and community. Families come together to attend special prayers at mosques, where they seek forgiveness, blessings, and guidance for the future. The prayers are followed by sermons delivered by religious leaders, emphasizing the importance of charity, unity, and compassion. One of the key traditions of Eid al-Fitr in Iran is the giving of fitra, which is a form of charity given to less unfortunate before the Eid prayers. This act of giving is meant to ensure that everyone can participate in the festivities and enjoy a festive meal on this special day. In mosque and prayer grounds, believers come together in prayer and reflection, offering thanks for the strength, patience, and blessings bestowed upon them during the month of Ramadan.
The philosophy behind fasting, as outlined in the Quran, aims at fostering righteousness. Prophet Muhammad's hadith underscores the dual benefits of fasting: spiritual purification, leading to righteousness and physical well-being, promoting health. Righteousness entails abstaining from sin, which demands strong willpower. By fortifying their willpower through fasting, individuals can achieve success, as strong willpower is key to overcoming challenges and attaining goals. A society comprising individuals with a strong willpower is poised for remarkable achievements. This can be the profound impact of fasting on society as a whole.
Like the crescent moon that waxes and wanes, Ramadan offers a chance for believers to shed the burdens of the past and embrace a new beginning, a time of purification and renewal, a journey of self-discovery and transformation. The holy month also helps believers to share experience of fasting, prayer, and reflection that bind hearts together in a tapestry of faith and solidarity.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do join us again to see what else is on. Till next time, take care.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you, Rasulullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear audience, welcome to a new episode of Like Muhammad from IRB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and what we do in this program is to talk about different aspects of the life of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to take lessons and follow him as a perfect role model for all Muslims. Well, our subject for today is about the way our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend the month of Ramadan and his frequent conducts in this holy month. A lot of Muslims may be wondering about the Prophet's life in the holy month of Ramadan. How did he take his suhoor, or what we call as the meal before starting to fast? How did he break his fast? How did he spend the day while fasting? Well, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the Muslims around him to increase in worship during the holy month of Ramadan before it got started, by mentioning the extra rewards for doing good deeds during it. He tried to motivate them in advance. It is narrated that he said, "There has come to you Ramadan, a blessed month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined you to fast. During it, the gates of heavens are opened and the gates of hell are closed, and every devil is chained up. In it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a night which is better than a thousand months. Whoever is deprived of its goodness is indeed deprived." During the holy month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would intend fasting every day. He would eat a little, sometimes with a few dates as his suhoor, or a little food or some water. He sometimes took suhoor with some of his companions. It is narrated in an authentic hadith that he took his suhoor with one of his companions called Zayd ibn Haritha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam also advised his people to attend this meal, because the apostle said, "In the meal there is a blessing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels bless those who do not leave their meals." As this hadith says,
eat your suhoor because in eating suhoor there is a blessing. Or in another one, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, eating suhoor is a meal full of blessings. Do not leave it even with a sip of water, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels pray for those who eat suhoor. After suhoor, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would observe his prayer. The interval between his suhoor and prayer was no more than the length of time it takes a man to recite 50 verses from the Holy Book of Quran. At other times, the Holy Prophet ﷺ may offer two light supererogatory prayer and wait in his house till Bilal seeks his permission for Iqamah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ would then come out through his wife's rooms because they were attached to the masjid. He would then observe subh prayer with the people. Okay, now let's go for a short break and we will be back very soon.
يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
Welcome back to your audience. You're listening to Like Muhammad from IRB English Radio, and we are talking about the habits of the Holy Prophet in the holy month of Ramadan. Well, after prayer, the Holy Prophet would stay back until sunrise, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the holy month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam